The church I grew up in, they didn't like for you to have notes. They thought that wasn't being spiritual. And, well, I won't say anything. I will say I thank God for the churches that I had a part to be in and the things that they added to us and helped us with. You too?
Yes.
Well, what do you want to do now? Well, you're all spruced up, combed your hair and everything. You came. We might as well do the whole thing. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't even have a night service, you know. So, and you got padded chairs and air conditioning. We could just go on and on. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. Go to 1 John, please, the first epistle of John, and the 4th chapter. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Try the Spirits. And this is based on this text here in 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and 1. Let's pray again over this. Father, we ask you for utterance, for anointing, for grace, and for everyone, for ears and eyes and heart that can hear and see and receive. And reveal to us, Lord, the workings of the enemy so that we won't be ignorant of that and give any place to it. And reveal to us the workings of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word and your ways. And as we see it, by your help, we'll not just be forgetful hearers, but we'll be doers thereof. And as surely as we act on your word, we can count on you to watch over it and perform it in our lives. And so we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 John 4 and 1, he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits," or that word try could be translated test or examine. Test the spirits, examine the spirits to what end? Whether they are of God, or we might say, or not. Because many false prophets, now this would be individuals speaking by a spirit, but not necessarily the Holy Spirit, are going out into the world. Now there's a lot more to say with this, but we're just talking about this part right now. The scriptures, if you believe the Bible, and we do, then there is a lot of reference to spirits. Spirits. A spirit is not a flesh and blood and bone being. A spirit is not a material being. And yet, they are a real being. God is spirit. God on the throne. The Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. The holy angels of God are spirits. Spirits. And then there's the other side. The devil and his crowd. Now, the King James often uses the word devil where the word demon is actually the correct word. And when you start talking about these things, people get uncomfortable sometimes. Of course, not at Faith Life Church. But do we believe the Bible or not?
Yes.
And Hollywood and movies and books and all this, many of them have been inspired by the devil, by demons. And so they portray these spirits as monsters. And they are not. I said, they are not. You know, the word demon, for instance, it conjures all kind of, harrowing concepts and visualizations. But it's because people have watched too many stupid horror movies. That was a weak, weak amen. So what's wrong? I like watching that. You should not watch this. Well, that's real strong, preacher. I'll say it slower. Every script was inspired by unseen things. Every thought, every imagination came from somewhere. These things are not nothing. They have an origin. And so there are actually people who have been inspired. They had evil spirits in their office, in their bedroom, in their home when they were writing these scripts. And they are designed to put fear into people, fear that will remain after the movie is over. I mean, they talked about, you know, how many people after they saw Jaws years ago would not go back in the water. Well, see, that went after that lasted beyond the movie. Right? Fear is not of God. And I get it, you know. People, you know, they in their mind, they know I'm in the safety of the theater there, and dinosaurs no longer exist, or whatever the case may be. There's no such thing as a vampire or whatever. And so they get immersed in it, and there's a flood of adrenaline, but then they can come back and go, yeah, but I'm safe in here. Not okay. I said, not okay, because a residual of that fear will stay with you. And it's cumulative. No. And we're going to possibly see this some today about the occult and about astrology and about palm reading and Ouija boards and all such things. If you toy with that, you are acting a fool.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
That's right.
Because spirits are real.
Yes.
They're real.
Yes, they are.
They're unseen entities.
Yes.
And they seek influence.
Yes.
And they bring thoughts and feelings to people. And they have no expression in this realm unless they can get somebody to yield.
Yes.
To these thoughts and feelings. If no human beings would yield to these things, it would be like they did not exist. It'd be like they're on the other side of a plate glass looking in. They have to get somebody to speak their words, to act on their impressions, their temptations, their suggestions. And unsaved people are more or less ruled by these things, whether they know it or not. But children of God should not be. Are y'all with me now? Children of God should not be, but the Bible said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That means if you are ignorant of how he works, then you are at a disadvantage of these things manipulating you. And the devil's favorite thing is to be doing all this stuff with people that don't even believe he exists. Because if you don't believe he exists, you're not going to resist anything. And what he prefers beyond that is to blame God for what he's doing. But we're not ignorant. I want to hear somebody, I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. Whew. All right. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Mark. Let's get into some more detail here. Like I said in previous lessons, a lot of preachers, they just don't even get into this subject. But then some that do, a lot of folks get in one ditch or the other. They either get scared of this, of these things, or they get weird. But the Lord can help us to rightly divide the word of truth and not get scared or weird. Look at your neighbor, help them out, say, no scared. Tell the other person, no weird. No scared, no weird. Just right. Just right. Mark, the fifth chapter, is so full of revelation on this subject. I mean, if you're interested in this, read this chapter repeatedly. And pray before you read it. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see what's here. In Mark 5, verse 1, they came over to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean.
Unclean.
Now see, you don't have to have discerning of spirits or to see or hear to know in the spirit, to know their spiritual activity. A lying spirit is talked about in the scripture. What do you reckon the results of a lying spirit would be? People telling lies. A unclean spirit. What's going to be, would there be any evidence of that if somebody's yielding to an unclean spirit? Well, right here. Where does this guy live? In the tombs. And he's nasty. If you look at Luke's account and Matthew's account, it goes on. You have to read all three to get the whole story. But one brings out that he wore no clothes. He's a nudist. And the other, that he cuts himself with rocks and with different things. He's cutting himself. He's a cutter. And he lives and operates among death. So that, you don't have to have a manifestation of discerning of spirits to see that somebody is cutting themselves, is being influenced by a wrong spirit. Now, with me or not? There's not a single instance of a person, young or old, who is cutting themselves, mutilating, thank you, their body, and it's of God. Not one case, never will be. And if you're a Christian, you know your body's not your own. It's not your own to mutilate or to commit suicide or any such thing. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You better ask him before you do anything to this body.
Yes.
Huh? And he's not going to tell you it's okay to cut yourself and hurt yourself and kill yourself. So this, why would you want to do it anyway? It's not even rational. It's not reasonable. It's painful. It's scarring. It makes no sense. What does that show you? Spiritual influence.
Yes.
There's spirits involved.
Yes.
And this person, through ignorance or through rebellion or defiance or whatever it is, they're yielding to it. And if you yield to it, it will get worse. And the more you yield to it, the worse it will get. And you see, this guy is at a place, we'd call him insane. He is out of his mind. He is naked. He lives in the graveyard. And you would hear out there at night him yelling and screaming and hollering and hurting himself and cutting himself. He's experiencing hellish condition. He's in torment. This is the devil. Come on, can you see this? This is the devil. These are wrong spirits that have influenced this man, and they did not force him to do this. If you back up, somewhere along the way, he started yielding to this stuff. And you keep doing it long enough, you'll get to the place where you can get completely out of your head. Which is why the enemy pushes so hard substance abuse. Huh? Why? Because he wants your defenses down so that you'll yield without thinking. If somebody gets so drunk, they get so high, they don't remember what they did, and they were saying things, and they were doing things, who was driving? You see what I'm saying? Who was, they're yielding to wrong stuff. And this is not fun. This is not, party, we're just having fun. No. You're yielding to, if your eyes could be opened and you could actually see what you have buddied up with and yielding to, you would throw up first and then you'd take 5 showers. Come on, y'all with me? Unclean. Everybody say unclean.
Unclean.
And so that's what's going on here. Unclean. He had his dwelling. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces. And neither could any man tame him. Supernatural strength. Well, that's obvious. That's something beyond human there. And this is on the positive side. This is what happened with Samson.
Amen.
With the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Can you see that?
Amen.
People assume that Samson was this giant hulk of a man. Not necessarily. I mean, you could have been 9 foot tall and 500 pounds and not do what he did. This was beyond natural strength. And the Bible told you exactly what happened. The Spirit of the Lord would come on him. Hallelujah. And he ripped up city gates up out of the ground. Woo, and put them on his shoulder and towed them up a hill. And hand-to-hand combat killed 1,000 men. Ain't no natural man can do that.
Amen.
Huh? Well, it just shows you the effect and influence of spiritual on physical.
Amen.
And here's some good news. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you may not need to rip up any city gates out of the ground, but it could be a Monday morning and you need a little boost.
Yes.
Right? You need a little quickening, a little boost. Well, he's there. I said he's there. Same Holy Ghost that came on Samson. Same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. In me. So all of that power is in us. We ought to lean on it. I said we ought to lean on it. We ought to call on it. We ought to look to it. But anyway, verse 5, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I want to hear you say it out loud. Cutting yourself,
cutting yourself.
Is of the devil.
I don't do it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
There's a wrong spirit involved in these things. And so, people were scared of this guy. If you look at the whole accounts, the Bible said nobody could pass through there. Think about it. In the middle of the night, you hear screaming down in the valley. Instead of just being scared of, it's demons. Listen, these things are stripped, brought to naught, defeated beings by the head of the church. We have authority over them. Now, if you're not a believer, that's another story. But if you are a child of God, You should never be afraid of an evil spirit. They're actually afraid you're going to find out who you are and what you are and shut them down and put them out of business. And that's exactly what's happening at Faith Life Church. But what you should do is have compassion for somebody in this awful condition. Right? No matter how he got that way. Yeah, it was a lot his own fault how he got in this shape. But many people, especially, you know, unsaved people, they don't even know what's going on. They didn't know where those feelings came from and those suggestions and temptations, and they just gave into it. The devil's convinced them it's just them. Yeah. It's just them. And he's convinced them they can do nothing about it. But when Jesus stepped off the boat, the demons got scared. And they figured, we better try to head this thing off. And so he actually motivated this man who didn't know who Jesus was and who's been completely out of circulation for we don't know how long, living in the tombs, ran to where the boat was and ran to Jesus. When he saw Jesus afar off, so he saw him from a great distance, and the demon said, oh no, oh no. Oh no. Are you born again?
Yes.
Are you a joint heir?
Yes.
With who we're talking about? Do you have the right to use his name and his authority? And when you know who you are, when you step off the boat, the demons go, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Attacked him? No, he's scared of him. Worshipped him. Worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you? Jesus, you Son of the Most High God, I adjure you by God that you don't torment me. Don't hurt me. He's calling on God the Father. This demon's calling on God. I'm calling on God. Don't let him hurt me. Don't let him hurt me. This paints a very different picture from the movies. Huh? This is not a monster that Jesus would ever be afraid of. Mm-mm. This being in this man recognized Jesus is walking in authority and power and is not afraid of him and obviously knows who he is. And so he cries out, you know, don't torment me. And he said to the man, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Two of the big statements, I mean, learning how to deal with the wrong spirit is not complicated. If you study what Jesus said and what he did, it boils down to two basic things. I've looked at it in depth. If there's a wrong spirit carrying on, trying to do something, Jesus would say, shut up! I don't want to hear anything coming out of your mouth. Shut up! And then he would say, come out! And they did. And it was over. And they went and sat down and ate and praised God. You want to practice it?
Yes.
Yes.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Come out.
Come out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now let's have dinner. Now you're laughing.
That's right.
But that's exactly what he did over and over and over again. It's not the Holy Spirit does not wrestle with evil spirits. They cannot. Challenge him in any shape, form, or fashion. There is no wrestling match. They dominate people who don't know who they are or who are not saved. We are saved. And we're learning who we are. Huh?
Amen.
So he went on to say, he asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. The reason this man was in such a case is he had more than one spirit. And legion means many. He besought. Now, this is one part I wanted to get to. Can you see there is so much here about these things? Unbelievers would read this and go, I don't believe in all that stuff. You know, spirits and demons and that ain't real. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. No, this is real. But the Spirit besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now that's an interesting thing, isn't it? He was, the reason this happened is this, the spirits in this man saw Jesus land in the boat from a far distance. And I mean, they didn't waste any time. They ran and fell at his feet and begged him not to hurt them. And then, when he talked about casting them out of the man, they said, well, don't make us leave this area. Why would that matter? Why would they care? y'all okay? Put the Amplified up, Mark 5 and 10. Mark 5 and 10. Says, this is the Amplified. Said, he kept begging him urgently not to send them, himself and the other demons, away out of that region. The NIV says he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Why? What's the big deal about that? One thing we need to remember is these spirits have been around for a long time. How long, I don't know. Many millennia, I suppose. And so they see generations of human beings come and go. And have you ever seen the phrase in the scripture, familiar spirit? Familiar spirit. Which is one of the reasons why we are forbidden to go to talk to anybody that's going to tell us our fortune, read our palm, that kind of thing. Because they're either just a total con, or if they do have something going on, it's a familiar spirit. And you'd be foolish to expose yourself to something like that. Under the Old Testament, it was the death sentence if you did that. If you saw, and the prophet said, why would a people who have a living God seek to the dead? You need to know something. You go to God, right? He's got the answer. You go to a wrong spirit, they're going to lie to you. They're going to play you. They're going to manipulate you. I mean, no. And that also means you don't go on your vacation to temples of other gods and let them burn incense and sprinkle you and chant stuff. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? No. Well, I'm just appreciating their culture. You're being a dummy. We're not ignorant of his devices. We don't do this kind of stuff. Why? Because spirits are real. And they hang out and congregate in regions. Which is why, can you see this? They pled with Jesus, don't send us away out of the area. Why? Because it takes time to train human beings to yield to you. See, a wrong spirit is spirit. They're not flesh. They can't force somebody to do something against their will. So what do they have to do? They got to talk you into it. They got to deceive you. They got to mislead you. They got to get you to thinking a certain way.
Yes.
So as soon as they get somebody that'll yield to them real good, mm-hmm. then that person ups and dies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yes.
And so what do they do now? They have zero expression or influence unless they can get somebody else to listen to them and yield to them. So what are they going to do? They're going to look for somebody that is the most like the person they had before. Because that requires the least amount of training. So you know who you go for? Family. Huh? The daughter who's a lot like her mother.
Yes.
Oh, come on, are you with me or not? The son who's a lot like his father. Whatever, that's why one of the reasons, they don't want to leave that area.
Amen.
Because then it's starting over from scratch. And it might have taken, and it's not hard to see this. Certain parts of the world, certain cities are known for certain things. Right? And not all good things. And so, how did that come to be? That over the decades and over the centuries, this place became a known hub of this kind of activity. Because that's the same spirits that were there hundreds of years ago.
Amen.
I know I saw this in my own family. My grandmother, who's a wonderful woman of God, but she had a great fear of storms. And she was in a tornado one time as a young woman. And man, it left a mark on her. And everything would be going fine. And there'd come dark clouds and the wind would kick up. And man, she'd get scared. She'd go in the house and just, you know. And she's a woman of God. She's a wonderful woman of God. And, you know, we tried to comfort her and that kind of thing. But just about every time the storm came up, she almost went into a panic. Well, I don't know. It must have been a year or two after she passed and went home to be with the Lord. I was at my dad's house and a storm came up and he got scared. And I was shocked because I grew up with him. I never saw him get scared about a storm. I was just shocked. I thought, what in the world? You could tell there was visible signs of fear on his face. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back now, he was the most like my grandmother of anybody in the family. And so this stinking spirit of fear, oh, I despise these things. The stinking spirit of fear no longer could torment my grandmother with this. So what does he look for? He looks for the person that's the easiest to fool and deceive and manipulate and mislead. Who would that be? The person most like the person he had tormented for years. Now, because of this, people try, they use terms like generational curse. And that's a misleading term, I think. I don't like some things about that. Why? Because for one thing, as a child of God, you are not cursed. Jesus became a curse in my place so that the blessing would come on me. And what people fail to realize is the reason you'll see some things go from generation to generation to generation is because of people being deceived and being ignorant of the enemy's devices. And you'll hear them talking like this in early in life. Well, that runs in the family. Huh? Runs in the family. It's just genetics. It's just genes. Well, yeah, there's a natural side to it, but every natural thing has something behind it too. Right? And the thing is, you can break the chain. Oh, hallelujah. You do not have to, let your daughter, your son, your grandkids be influenced by these evil things. They can know the truth. And they can know that your words matter. And the thing is, the enemy, he really works. If you have somebody in your family that you're close to, that you care about, and let's say they got cancer, and they suffered horribly, and they died young and died wrong with cancer. Well, the enemy will try to imprint on you that picture and put the fear of that happening to you in you, and he will look for whoever was most like the other person. And the same thing, whether it's arthritis, whether it's, you know, any number of things, you never should refer to something as mine. My arthritis, my heart trouble, my diabetes. No, no, 1,000 times no, words matter. I said words matter. And Jesus is the apostle and high priest of what we say, of our confession. What you need to say is, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. He has redeemed me. And you, if you go through, the Bible specifically said we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, you see the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28. You see it also in Leviticus. And you'll find out every kind of disease that's ever been named. And those that hadn't been named yet, part of the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from that. It includes mental things. Mental things. Crazed in the wits is one thing that is in the curse of the law. And it talks about fear and panic and being overwhelmed and can't sleep and can't eat and all this stuff. That's part of the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from it. I've been saying for years now, Phyllis and I have been saying for years now, I will never lose my mind. You want to say it? You may say, well, what do you think? Other people didn't want to either. Well, the Bible also said 1,000 may fall by one side and 10,000 on the other, but it won't come near me. That's not me trying to say something big for myself. I'm quoting Scripture. I'm quoting, thus saith the Lord. I don't know what they believed. God's no respecter of persons, but I know it's my responsibility to agree with Him and say what He said. You want to be on the watch for these things and spirits trying to jump on you and influence you. You don't need to be afraid of them. I said, you don't need to be afraid of them. They can't make you do anything.
That's right. Nothing.
But you do want to watch out for their lies. Oh, they're sneaky. Oh, they're tricky. They try to come in such a way that you don't even notice what they're doing. And, of course, it's unseen and it's unheard. It's a thought. It's a suggestion. It's a fear. It's a temptation. And feelings that go with it. Feelings of depression. Feelings of fear. Feelings of hopelessness. Feelings of defeat. And when you hear or think or feel something like that, you must not slide down in your chair and cry and feel sorry for yourself. If you do, you're going down. You better stand yourself up and you better say, in the name of the head of the church, Jesus, get out of here. You get out of here. You have no place, no place in my life. I'm redeemed. I'm free. Hallelujah. And sometimes, especially if something hit close to home and the fear is palpable and it's there and the thoughts have been persistent, sometimes you'll need to stand up. Maybe it's your house or wherever you are, you need to stand up and go, no, no, that will never happen to me. Not because I'm so perfect, it's because God keeps me. He keeps me by His mercy, by His faithfulness. Well, yeah, you know, Grandma had it and Mama had it. And, you know, and I think I told you before that my great-granddad was shot and killed over a woman when he was 21. And my granddad was shot and killed over a woman when he was 21. This is on my mother's side. I was the next boy. And my grandma used to call me and show me the pictures of my granddad in the casket. And he had black hair, real black hair, and my hair used to be real black. And he said, she'd say, "You look just like him. You look just like him. Oh, you look." And I'm looking at a man in a casket. Right? I'm just a little boy. And as soon as I was old enough, I didn't realize what was going on. But the enemy would bring to me, "Yeah, boy, you better live while you can, you know, because 21. Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that a mystery? 21, boom. 21, boom. And you look just like him. You look just like him." I was actually going down that path. Oh, but thank God. Thank God. I found out. And actually, I was involved in some things that were trucking. And went to meet a guy when I was about 21. And he was peeled out of his head. And I didn't know it, but he didn't even know what was going on. And he was on the other side. I was trying to see if he was there and tell him about a route and that kind of thing. And he had I think it was a .357 Magnum pointed at the door at me. I was on the other side of the door. Thought I was trying to break in and get him. He was going to shoot me and kill me. Well, very well could have been. I could have been dead, shot at 21. But I had found out something before that. And I had been saying, "I will live and not die and glorify God." Hallelujah. I will glorify. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to finish my course. And I'm still kicking. All these years later. These spirits are defeated. I said they are defeated. But most of the world doesn't know this. And most of the world don't even believe they exist. And so they are not resisting them. But you and I are not ignorant of these things. And so you don't have to have discerning of spirits. You don't have to see and hear these things. When you see the lying, when you see the stealing, when you see the unclean, when you see all this stuff, you know something's at work. Right? It's certainly not God influencing all this evil stuff. And so you know that's the thing to resist. And if somebody has gotten in a bad shape with this stuff and they won't help, you can help them. I said, you can help them. There's power and authority. Somebody said, "Well, I'm not a preacher." The Bible didn't say these signs would follow preachers. They follow believers. Believers, you have that name. So let's practice one more time. If the enemy's trying to, act up and do stuff around you, what did Jesus say?
Shut up.
Then what? Come out. Get out of here.
Leave this place.
Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How good.